This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Nā mai, haere mai, kia ora tanakwe, Free FM 89.0 on a Sunday afternoon. Welcome to the day, the weather update, cloudy periods, a period of rain this afternoon, nor'westerlies, turning south-westerly this evening, tomorrow, fine, westerlies dying out for a time in the morning, sunset this evening at 5:51pm and sunrise tomorrow morning at 6:51am. 16 degree high in the city, 6 degrees overnight. It's 17 degrees in the city. What's on my mind? The opinion is mine. Column comment. A 14-year-old is charged with murder after an incident on Auckland motorway. We have a matinee idol who dies and a Polish refugee from Nazi occupied Poland arrives in New Zealand, the anniversary today, New Zealand Hit Parade, chot.org.nz, August 23, 1969. Stephen King joins me at 1 o'clock. We're going to talk about cocaine as a wash in Hamilton, Cambridge, Te Awamutu, and the young and vulnerable and the streeties are being used as couriers for sex. And a man linked to illegal and other crimes in the city, including stolen bikes. The young are being used as drug couriers. And before two, Gary Schofield, Rebecca, and hopefully Dwayne and Trevor before 2 o'clock this afternoon. In about 20 minutes, we'll be talking to Stephen King. The latest major drug-related investigations and trends are being reported by the Waikato Times and feature significant regional syndicates, wastewater findings and border issues. The rate of drugs being seized is growing. We've got a serious problem. We've also got a problem with wastewater, and Cambridge is being regarded as the coke capital. Intelligence on wastewater data has gone up, and also Huntley recorded the region's highest spike in methamphetamine, while Antiquity and Thames returned the lowest overall illicit drug levels. Well, drug couriers and young people are being targeted to be drug couriers connected to gangs. This is part of the story in the Waikato Times. Also, the vulnerable streeties are being used. Some of the women are being used for sex, according to the story in the Waikato Times also. But I'm also linking it to the illegal bike riders around town. Stolen bicycles. Yes, there's a market in stolen bicycles, and I see some of these kids on bicycles. They don't look if they could afford them, and they've got cell phones, and they're filming their activities and putting it on websites. So there are links to all this. We'll be talking to Stephen King very, very shortly about this, so look out for that around 1 o'clock this afternoon. And the rate of antisocial behaviour by some of our young people, I witnessed a bit of it last night, coming up to the studio last night with kids throwing food at what was Hill Street Lodge and trying to steal a couple of cars on Hill Street. Yep, we've got a problem, New Zealand. Day 235, 130 to go. August 23, 2026. And it was this day in 2005. A 14-year-old boy was arrested and charged with the murder of Chris Curry. It was alleged the boy on an Auckland motorway overbridge, dropped a piece of concrete and on Chris's car, killing him and injuring his passengers.
Blue smoke goes drifting by into the deep blue sky.
It was this day in 1303, Scottish patriots William Wallace executed in London. This day in 1926 at Matinee Idol, Rudolph Valentino dies at 31. Yeah, he dies at 31. Let's try it. It was this day in 1966 that New York City hosts the Beatles at Shea Stadium. The Beatles' final live performance before 45,000.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding was being. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people.
It was this day in 1974 that John Lennon reports in New York City to seeing a UFO.
People say I'm crazy, doing what I'm doing. Well, they give me all kinds of warnings to save me from ruin.
It was this day in 1940 that Germany begins bombing London. And on this day in 1947 in New Zealand, Bogdan Kamenowski, a Polish refugee, arrived in New Zealand with his mother aboard the Rangitata. He was aboard with around 116 others. Bogdan later became Mr. Lee Grant. So let's go back to 1967. This was number one in New Zealand with the one and only Mr. Lee Grant, Bogdan Kamenowski.
I was afraid of today, putting me down. That was a game they would play. Then you found me, and you came on strong for me. And baby, thanks to you,
Bogdan Kamenowski, alias Mr. Lee Grant, thanks to you from 1967. Actually, his father died in a German prisoner of war camp. Death camp, yeah, his mother. It was this day in 1947 that the young Bogdan and his mother arrived on the Rangitata in Wellington, excuse me. Anyway, New Zealand Hit Parade, chart.org.nz, history and song. Saturday, August 23, 1969, Ones at H, 5 a.m., Colin Follis hosts Country Roundabout. From 6 a.m. to midday, we had breakfast, we had wedding bells, sports cancellations, we had motoring with Robbie, and we had gardening with Reg Chibnall. Between noon and 6 p.m., we had racing from the Pakaranga Hunt Club with Sid Tonks. We had reporting on Waikato local rugby from all the parks around New Zealand, and we had New Zealand artists around 5:30. And between 6 p.m. and midnight, we had sports newsreel. We had other programs leading into midnight close down. And the number one song in New Zealand this day just happens to be a guy called Tommy Rowe, and he was singing about his honey called Heather. Yeah, Heather Honey, that is number one New Zealander's Day in 1969. Tommy Robe. Well, we're talking to Stephen King very shortly, but I've quite inadvertently been caught up in this because I've been commenting online on Facebook about the illegal cyclists around town, and they are riding possibly stolen bikes. And part of the story is bikes being used by young people as drug couriers, and there's vulnerable streeties out there being used for sex, intimidation. They want the money. Good afternoon, Stephen King. That's only part of the story.
Well, it is. It is really. There is a bigger story going on here, more than what we actually publish and print in the newspapers. I mean, we're very nice to tippy-toe around the actual subject. I guess it's a matter of it being a digestible information for people.
Yep. It kind of that, as I said, I've been inadvertently caught up with this commenting on the cyclist. I've been nearly run over by them. And it's alleged they're running around on stolen bicycles. And I kind of linked, and the police deny this, that some of these people may be linked to being drug couriers.
Oh, look, it's all of that. It's, you've got two murders a week going on. You've got Myroy, you've got Beers Court and somewhere else, and then you've got kids being run over, three kids from St. Paul's run over on a bike, and you've got all this. But I can tell you definitively, yes, drugs and alcohol abuse is part of and behind a lot of it.
This system was used during the COVID period. They went and checked all the water mains, and that is part of what's going on at the moment.
Well, the police have an ongoing water testing regime across the country, evidence-based. It's fact. They're not dreaming of the extent of the different drugs that are being consumed and used. And actually,
And Cambridge, Te Awamutu, and other countries have been labelled drug capitals of New Zealand.
Well, I think Te Awamutu took the lead from Cambridge last time around. The point that comes to mind when I read, for example, yesterday's paper, drugs, gangs, and city vulnerability, and as you say, bikes being stolen, all the rest of it, and young children being used to spot, watch out for the cops coming to bust their families, whoever's selling. It's all of that.
Yep.
But I've got some not so good news. It's not restricted to just your homeless and your street people.
Yep.
This problem is venturing into all areas of our society from the bottom up. It would be fair to say from the bottom up, but it's getting to the middle.
So what else are the police telling you, Stephen?
Well, they're not able to tell me a lot because it's outside their guidelines. I mean, Mark Mitchell is an excellent Minister of Police, actually. He's shown a very, very strong interest in what the needs are for people who have addiction problems, a combination of addiction and mental health and ADHD and fetal alcohol syndrome, and it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. To get people only change when they choose to change. You've got to create an environment. We need to support them to go out of the community for some time in a residential setting. Now, that immediately brings up that early intervention, prevention. Yeah, you're all very good. But for people to change, they need a safe environment to consider that option and to be with others who are attempting to do the same thing. I have not, in 37 years, seen it work on an outpatient basis very much at all.
Yep.
The people who stop, get clean, and stay clean are people who go into a treatment facility and start talking about who they are as people.
Yep.
That the drug use is just the escape. It's how people are coping. And that's covered in the newspaper article.
Yep.
Because it's the same, no matter what area of society you're from, it's escape and a coping with the reality. And, of course, you've got all these new realities to cope with these days, costs of living and the cost of food and power and all the they're all factors that contribute to expanding the problem.
Yeah. As I went through the papers earlier this morning on my phone, I did see there was a couple of incidents in the city last night when the police were called out, and But
that's an almost daily event now.
Yep.
That's almost a daily event now.
Yep. And of course, it might be over. Oh, you owe me some money for your Mary Jane. Sorry, marijuana.
It's a developing culture, and it's not. We're not the only one. This is happening across the Western world.
Yep. As I said, I've been on Facebook and commenting, and others been commenting on what's going on with these cyclists, and I've been called a snitch, and I've had a photo put up online of me riding one of those bikes. They didn't have my permission. They knew my Facebook page photo to put it on, paste it on another body, et cetera, et cetera. So there's something bad going on out there. So do we keep commenting online about these people, or do I feel safe? I've had taken some advice. Yep, just stay safe. That's the main thing.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess you go into that. Yep. It's a whole new world, isn't it? I mean, I'm an old guy now, but you have the internet and the extent of how people can creep into other people's lives, I guess.
Yeah. Have you ever been abused and threatened by people you've counselled? Counselled for their drug addictions? Have you ever been threatened?
Not directly. As such, I've had quite a lot of people lose their temper for what they're hearing. But of course, we are trained in the sector to, you know, in de-escalation. There's no use winding people up.
Yeah. These kids being used as drug spotters, and that worries me.
Well, it's a bigger picture.
Yeah.
You'll find that the family is entrenched, that it just doesn't suddenly pop out, that this is a whole of family, whole of community issue.
And of course, we've got another big problem too. We've got kids not going to school. And that's another part of the problem too. So
Well, just to carry on, it's sort of, you know, there is no definitive solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And I have politicians ask me this question on a regular basis. There isn't definitive solutions to a lot of this. It's more about of going to where we're at and working with what we've got.
Yep. But the problem too is some of these streeties are drug addicts themselves. And in Garland Place the other day, it was reported that CitySafe found the smell of marijuana permeating throughout Garland Place. So,
or Huntley.
Yep.
Well, wherever you want to go, mate.
Yep. Another thing, I got into a discussion on whether marijuana should be decriminalised. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, It's a great theory, and it'd be nice if it worked. No, I'm sorry, I'm not hell bent on going down one view or the other.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it is what it is. You won't force people to change.
If there's any parents listening right at this moment, and you think your kids are part of this gang culture, what do you say to your kids?
Well, I take that phone call on a weekly basis, and have done for several years now. And it's the unfunded work, working alongside the mothers and grandmothers in particular, because the love of a parent for a child does not exceed the power of addiction, I'm afraid.
Yep.
And so it's kind of like having to walk alongside parents who have a family member, brother, mm-hmm. sister, mother, daughter, whatever.
Yep. So we've got the security here in the city with CitySafe, but they've got lesser powers than the police, but the police and CitySafe do work in together.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They do their best with the resources that they have.
I know some of these CitySafe crews are friends of mine, and I've been assaulted and sworn at. And so Yep, maybe the city council should step up too. It's I haven't heard any word about this from the city council. They should.
Well, I think it's we're in a work in progress. Yep. The whole notion of rough sleepers, you know, move along, move to where everybody's got to be. The point I want to make is for people invariably. A lot of people invariably get to a place of being sick and tired of being sick and tired, and the lifestyle that comes with being, you know, an active user or living in that. And they consider the option that maybe there's a life outside of that.
Yep.
And that's where I believe we need to be focusing our service provision. Well,
who's the journalist on the story, Stephen? Did they come and talk to you?
Or? Not on this particular occasion, but I do have them from time to time over the years. I mean, this is front page stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kind of thing, it's all about the problem. And, well, at least we're starting to talk more about it.
And I hope we keep talking about it. Stephen, every few weeks that you'll come in and with the latest, and I only found out about that you were coming in when Mel texted me earlier in the morning when I was doing prepare work at home. So,
right.
Anyway, on a lighter side, how's retirement going? We'll keep talking about this.
Retirement?
Yeah.
Well, I'm 72.
Yeah.
And I'm a former lived experience. I was an addict myself for many years. I have to own making a bit of a mistake. I changed my drug to passion. Helping others find what I found, that there is a life after drugs, and it's a very rewarding life. And I've experienced it for myself and grown with it myself. But passion, helping others, comes with some potential side effects.
Well, I hope.
Do you want to know the side effects?
Yep, tell us.
Stress, burnout.
Yep.
Not taking care of oneself.
Yep.
Enough. And so here I am. I was overdue for retirement, but my work is not done. Yep. And here I am into my fourth week, fourth Monday, starting tomorrow. And I've got plans, and I'm going about it in a planned way, unplanned way.
A long walk?
Yes, walks, gardening, groups that I belong to. I've expanded those.
And lots of meeting friends at coffee places around town and all that.
Well, you know me, I'm a Scotsman from way back.
I know. I've seen you down at one of the cafes on Victoria Street. That's a while ago now.
Yes,
so.
People seek me out there, yes. And I'm happy to talk to people particularly about this problem.
Yeah. So hopefully the story will get out there, but people, I feel pretty safe. I've blocked this person who was making all the rubbish against me, so I've blocked them on Facebook. Hopefully I won't know till later in the day. So, but yep, be safe, be careful out there, as that former cop from Hill Street Blues used to say, be careful out there. And have a good day, Stephen. Thank you for coming in on a miserable Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, that wind's blowing like mad out there, I tell you.
Okay, we're going to lighten the mood. Going to have some poetry or reading from Rebecca coming up next here at Free FM 89.0. But we're talking about Wandsworth Age. Back in 1969, among the programming on a Saturday, we had Reg Chibnall doing gardening and all that. Are you into gardening, Stephen?
Yes, I do a bit of gardening.
And there's also Motoring with Robbie. We had sports in the afternoon. We had racing commentaries. And we also had, for the people getting married on that particular day, we had a program called Wedding Bells. This is Wandsworth Age back in 1969. And one of the most popular songs was a wedding song called She Wears My Ring. This is the late Solomon King, an American. He stood over 6'5". You'll hear his voice.
She wears my ring to show the world that she belongs to me. She wears my ring to show the world she's mine eternally.
minutes past one at 3FM 89.0 Independent Community Media. This is Cosmopolitan News and Views. The late Solomon King, She Wears My Ring. Well, in history, it was this day back in 1947 that the Rangitata arrives in Wellington carrying Polish refugees, Jews amongst them, in New Zealand. Aboard was a young Bogdan Kamenowski. His father had died in a Nazi concentration camp. His mother was with him. Bogdan Kamenowski later became Mr. Lee Grant. Refugee Bogdan Kamenowski, he now goes under that name in England because he's been an actor and he even appeared in a James Bond movie. He was thrown down the stairs in a James Bond movie. Bogdan Kamenowski, Mr. Lee Grant, and that's another number one song. Good afternoon, Rebecca.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
You haven't fine.
You've been writing lately, so I'll leave you to tell us, is it a poem or story?
Oh, yeah. Not only lately, you know, I write poem when I was very young. Of course, it's in Mandarin. You know, for me, it's a really huge challenge to write poem in English. But I think I've done it.
Yeah.
And the influence is particularly for our great William Shakespeare. You know, I have a big influence by him, and especially his sonnet, you know, and it's quite classic, and it's really touched me, and it's deeply moved me, and I just try to use my poet talent and to use his method, you know, mainly about his syllables and his, you know, sonnet. You know, I just try very, very hard, and I think I've done it, and it's a good quality, you know. And today, I think I, you know, talking is not more than listening, you know. And this leave with the audience to judge. And today I read my point not long ago, I think it's half years ago, a point is about the nature. Okay, the sunlit, the park nearby. This cute little park, like poetic night. The lovely trees cover plenty of space. let me read them. It's fine. So I want the orphan in the internet. A book meet a tiny bridge every day. They are not always happy or sad. When I join them and understand their way, the emotion of my mind feel glad. Oh, what an intimate and a charming creature who is willing to become my poetic creation. Face the complicated human society and the nature that's far beyond each one's imagination. Sometimes, cure my wounded heart in the park. The treatment is the touching melody of the knock. That's the point I write, you know, about my park nearby, and I always roll inside, you know, and I think they have become part of my life. So what do you think about
I've read bits and pieces of Shakespeare's poetry, but there's another poet you've got to, if you want some influence, his name is Robert Burns from Scotland. Mm. He is the guy who wrote, of course, Auld Lang Syne, which is played at New Year's Eve. Mm. He wrote poetry about his life, the woman in his life, because he had many of them. He had illegitimate children to many of his.
Oh, yeah.
Even when he was married, he was having children with some of his mistresses and all that. And it was a busy life because he only died at the age of 37 because he was out on the wet on a horse, and he got absolutely soaked, and he died, unfortunately. But he left behind a whole lifetime of poetry. So check out Robert Burns; you'll find some inspiration there. But
yes, I will.
Yeah. Well, what about the Chinese poets that inspired you?
And Chinese poet, man, it's not the contemporary one, and the Chinese poet is come from the ancient times. It's really, really wonderful, and I'm really influenced by that style. When I studied in the college, and so that kind of poet really influenced me. And also in the college, and I study in the university, and also I read something, literature about the English and American literature, and inside them, and including some poetry like William Shakespeare and Keats, you know, and that's another person can influence me because his poems is really touching. And another one is Shelley, you know. Shelley's, his very famous, words is, if the winter comes, how spring can far away, yeah, something like that, you know.
And of course, Lord Byron is another famous poet, so sadly, some of these poets died at young ages. William Shakespeare died at a young age.
Only 15-4. Yeah. So that's why he's a good. He have, you know, great talent to write drama and also the sonnet. But unfortunately, his sonnet is totally is only 15-4. And my sonnet is the amount is much, more than what Shakespeare write,
some of Shakespeare's works have been made into movies, like A Midsummer's Night Dream and all that.
Yeah, that's his drama.
Hey,
yeah.
Rebecca, thank you for your poem. You better get writing again.
Also, I'm a traveler. I travel the world. I nearly traveled 100 countries. I'm really happy to share with the audience about my experience of that.
Yeah, she's got many stamps on her passport. It's
of course, sure.
Yeah. When's your next trip?
Next trip, I got to renew my passport first.
Oh, yeah. Don't leave the country. Don't leave the country illegally. You mightn't be let. You mightn't be let back in.
Never.
Hey, thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Hope to do it again sometime.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, we've got to play some music. Hopefully Mel comes in. We've got Gary Schofield to come.
The most beautiful sound I have ever heard. Maria, 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 Maria. All the beautiful sounds of the world is single word. Maria, 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 Maria. Just kissed a girl named Maria, and suddenly that name will never be the same to me. Maria, I just kissed a girl named Maria, and suddenly I found how wonderful a sound. Maria, I'll never stop saying Maria. Maria, just kissed a girl named Maria, and suddenly I found how wonderful a sound can be. Maria, say it loud, and there's music playing. Say it soft, and it's almost like praying. Maria, I'll never stop saying Maria. The most beautiful sound I had ever heard.
The man who came to New Zealand in 1947 is the anniversary today of the Rangitata coming into Wellington Harbour with refugees, Poles, Jewish. Bogdan Kamenowski was a refugee from a Nazi war camp. His father died in the camp. Him and his mother came to New Zealand. And that's where you get the one and only Mr. Lee Grant of Free FM 89.0. Talking poetry, we've been talking about poetry with Rebecca. Here is a sample of Robert Burns.
Played in tune.
Wilson, Robert Burns, My Love Is Like a Red, Red Rose. Good afternoon, Mel.
Good afternoon. Trevor Green gets a lot of joy out of life at 78. It's about this time of day, once the dishes are cleared, that he may be seen shuffling a pack of cards. Mutta Mutta's lifestyle's relaxed, friendly across the generations. So what would you be doing with cards at the middle of the day, just after lunch, Trevor?
Play crib.
It's what?
Play cribbage.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
An old-fashioned game.
Oh, it is? I see. You've been playing cards all your life, have you?
Yeah, it's part of your life in the fire service. You play cards.
And you play with whom?
Oh, I just play with my wife.
She plays?
That's better.
Is she the better card player than you?
Well, she's not listening, no.
We've got some information about cards here. We'll just slip this in, if we may, Trevor.
Good afternoon, Trevor. Bruce here. How are you?
Not too bad, Bruce.
Yeah, well, cribbage is a classic two-player card game invented in the 17th century by Sir John Suckling. Where have I heard that name before? Where players race to score 121 points using a unique wooden pegging board. Is that the game we're talking about?
Exactly.
Well, there's something new to learn every day. I never heard of it.
And that's the news of AI. So.
Well, Mutta Mutta's got a leisurely...
It's a good game to teach kids how to count.
What's that, sorry?
Cribbage is a good game to teach children how to count.
Oh, really? To learn to count? I did that some time ago. I'd forgotten how. What did you get up to in your younger years that disturbed the leisurely atmosphere of Mutta Mutta, Trevor?
Well, as a young fella, I got interested in local body politics when Manukau City Council got formed.
Yes.
And I followed politics from there, and then I...
And work-wise?
Got out of religion. I saw how religion worked and moved around the place.
And work-wise, when you left school, what school had you gone to? Down Mutta Mutta?
No, I went to Mutta Mutta High School.
Where was that place?
An Auckland boy. Another Jaffa.
Goodness me.
Born and raised in Auckland. I came down here 12 years ago.
Yes. And you made your future in an industry that's been drawing a lot of attention, partly because it's expensive to run, and we all know that fire is one of the great hazards in life.
It's a very interesting career. By trade, I'm a refrigeration engineer, and I joined the Volunteer Fire Brigade and enjoyed it. Then I joined it permanently. And my last 6 years in the fire service was the best when I was investigating fires.
We've invested a lot as a nation in our forests, Pinus radiata in particular.
The big thing at the moment that annoys me is fens is being totally mismanaged at the moment, and I'm not a unionist, but I've got to support the guys 100%.
Now, as for sport, how do you rate yourself in sport?
Terrible.
Oh, I would have thought that those who became firefighters might be expected to maintain a high level of physical fitness. No better way than sport.
Well, yeah, I refereed. I played football from about the age of 12. The real game of football with a round ball.
A real one.
And after my kids were born, I took up refereeing to encourage my kids to play football. And I had one that played football up to about, what's he now? He's 54 now, so up to he's about in his mid-40s. And the other one switched to hockey.
I don't know how you find time for it all, Trevor, but your name has been seen published in the Waikato Times, a letter to the editor. Had a puzzling heading, PM and MMP. Now, it just sounds a muddle, doesn't it? But you've been looking into it and the implications for our future. What's happening?
Well, Christopher Luxon suggested we should review MMP. and the media took it to be first past the post was the only option. If people go back prior to 1993, people voted out FPP and we had an option of four types of vote. There's preferential voting, reserve voting, STV and MMP. MMP won the day, barely 56%, and we've been using that since. But it's a greatly manipulated system. I'm opposed, personally, to anybody getting a free ride into Parliament. By that I mean, you're on the party list and you're high on the party list, so you don't have to do anything. You're going to be in Parliament. The other way, there should be two separate lists, a parliamentary electorate list and a party list. And number one of the party doesn't come in until you've got all your electorate votes in. So if you've got 30 seats, your number one on the list becomes candidate number 31. Like the number one on Labour list is... Chris Hipkins, I think number one on national is Luxon. Well, neither of them should be on the list.
It's quite a puzzle. Do you think it's beyond the average person to understand that?
I don't think it's beyond the average person. It's just how it's been manipulated. There's a good article in the Sporting Herald on Sunday. If it's done right, we could end up with a parliament... this election of 132 MPs instead of 120. But this is, just think of the cost of running that, you know, an extra 12 officers, an extra 12 staff, 12 salaries. They'd have to rearrange the seating in the voting chamber. The cost is horrific. Whether we're spending the money on health and things like that.
Yes, it's going to get contentious nearer the time. Most of us haven't realised yet that it's going to be on. More than likely, it'll go according to plan and there will be a poll of some sort that's integrated with the others. That's what you'd like to see.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my personal preference was STV, which is single transferable vote.
Well, if and, I get lost in the...
Your first choice... may not get enough votes, that goes to your second choice. But everybody gets voted into Parliament.
Trevor, we're going to talk about this local body amalgamation, and this will affect people in the Manamata area. What's the talk on the street about local body amalgamation?
Well, again, the preference here is stay east of the Waikato River, so you'd have Coromandel, Hauraki, Matapiako and South Waikato forming one council. But the preferred option, depends if it gets accepted, is each current area would basically run its own council with the executive running a regional council for the area.
Yours is a big area, of course. Hamilton may be linked to Taupo. So
yeah, that's ridiculous.
I don't know. Hey, Trevor, thanks for... I'll let you go back to your cribbage game and counting numbers and all that. Thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Okay.
It's a pleasure. At Free FM, 89.0, 137. Well, yeah, local body amalgamation. It's going to happen. And we're all going to be a kind of affected by this in one way or another. So right now, time for a bit of more music, and we'll see what does come up. And I think we've got something from the Proclaimers, and we'll try this one.
Was broken. tears are drying. My tears are drying. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. My tears are drying. My tears are drying. Your beauty and kindness made tears clear my blindness. While I'm what my room on this earth, I will be with you. While the chief with sunshine on me, I'll thank him for his work.
FM 89.0 independent community media. That, of course, is Sunshine on Leith. That's the two twins from Scotland, the Reed brothers. Good afternoon, Gary Schofield. Hello, Gary.
I'm here. Good afternoon to you.
Flaunting their defence forces, the United States and South Koreans practiced tactics off the Korean coast to show superiority in weapons as well, hoping never to launch them in combat, to remove all doubt by taking control of the Korea Peninsula. It's a war that could resume at any time. In the midst of these war games, President Donald Trump issued an order that cut short the war exercises. The world wondered why. That hardly begun. Political commentator Gary Schofield has debated these issues for years ago. There was a time when we read of your introspection in the case of such a standoff as we now see in the Middle East. Is that so?
Well, exactly. Back in 2017, in fact, I did give some commentary and became the bad cop to Trump's good cop in his first term, just coincidentally, of course. But I did write the possibilities at that stage. There was very bellicose talk against North Korea, but Trump was ending up trying to negotiate a better relationship with Kim Jong-un, which he succeeded in doing, if you'll remember. And I thought it was a prescient show last week because we were discussing how alliances have shifted through the history of mankind. We've had Germany and Britain close allies. That they were close allies in the Napoleonic War, and as I discussed in the War of Independence in the United States also, Britain sent an invasion of Germans into the colonies of the U.S. So we have all of these things being very plastic and very changeable, and at the moment, there's a lot of talk about North Korea and how North Korea is shipping weapons and ammunition into the war in Ukraine for the benefit of Russia. We know for a fact that we had North Korean troops fighting, especially in the Kursk incursion, if you remember. Ukraine actually invaded Russia and had some initial success in carving out a salient in Kursk. Well, the North Korean troops came into that to defend Russian territory. So it's not silly at all, and I think that poor President Trump, in this one instance at least, should get a little bit more credit for trying to cause a rapprochement, a better relationship with North Korea. Because at the moment, the last thing we need in the West is to have a relationship between Iran, a combative military one, which is now being sanctioned, of course, with the economic sanctions instead of military ones, but nevertheless, a war footing. And we have one with Russia currently at the moment with the Ukraine war. and we have a potential conflict with China, and having North Korea involved in an alliance of that military nature could shift the balance of the entire world.
Yeah.
So anyway, and I did mention back in 2017 that a conflict with North Korea could result in millions of casualties. You can look this up. It is in the New Zealand Herald article 2017. And luckily, that was avoided then, and instead we had a better relationship. So hopefully, because a nuclear power, don't forget, North Korea is a nuclear power, would have devastation should there be a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
And I actually do think that it is quite a wise strategy to bring down that intensity by having those war games reduced in intensity for diplomacy to take place.
Yeah, talking about the Ukraine and Russia, Ukraine using British-built equipment, they bombed Russia this week using drones built in Britain. So, yeah, Ukraine did bomb Moscow this week.
Correct. And I couldn't help listening to the RNZ interview with Hamish Gordon, representing the military, British military, and his quite extraordinary statement. So, well, why are they angry at Britain? We're so far away from this conflict. Well, Russia does see that as offensive to give Ukraine the technology and the weaponry to actually reach in so far inside Russia itself and to be able to bomb Moscow. So we have to be careful with escalation because it's a big world.
Yep.
There are British fleets, and Putin has threatened to a return or a return in kind of any aggression. And we have British fleets in the Pacific. A lot of the aircraft carriers, I don't think there's an aircraft carrier left in the Western Pacific. They've all headed off to the Middle East. So we're living in fragile times, and we have an intensifying conflict in the Ukraine war because Putin is about to mobilize. And you'll be, both of you, great students of history. What caused World War One really? It was really when the major powers decided to mobilize, and mobilization itself has its own inertia in war. Just read Clausewitz.
Yeah.
So what we have to avoid, should that be possible, would be a country like Moscow mobilizing, and they're about to do that with 500,000 troops added to their already substantial military.
Yep, well,
so hopefully we'll take and change course in that direction.
Well, there's been a couple of wins this week for the justice in America. There's been a win for Donald Trump. He can build at the moment until further notice. He can build his ballroom at the White House. And E.J. Carroll is going to get her money because the Supreme Court ruled 9-0 that he's got to pay the money to a lady he sexually abused.
Well, you're right. That is a win and a quite dramatic loss. Both of those. Yes, he gets his ballroom, but he does have to pay Carol that money. And that was going to be quite an interesting case, I thought, because it really does challenge. So even though a lot of this took place before his presidency, when he came out and made the comments that were defamatory, the issue was, is that protected because he's president? And so I thought that would be quite an interesting case to study because it does cut to the heart of presidential immunity while in office.
Yeah.
However, it looks like he's going to have to pay up.
Well, with the ballroom, of course, a judge alone, one judge, Chief Justice Roberts, he's ruled.
Yes.
I don't know what the other justices have said, but yeah, so it's... So it's only temporary, Gary. It's only temp.
Yes.
So he's got to make another ruling on it.
I see. And also don't forget there's all the tariffs back in the news again because of the Canadian-US deal that has fallen through. People were optimistic that there could be an arrangement, but it looks like 50% tariffs are going on today against Canada, and Canada will, as Carney said, retaliate in kind, dollar for dollar.
I see these things that Trump writes in the middle of the night. Does he sleep, that guy? I begin to wonder sometimes, because the news is he's got a mistress. And so
yes, that is the speculation. Oh, and by the way, just on that, just as we finish with the tariffs, I don't think it's wise for a country to try and go up against the might of, you know, financial and trade might of the United States. So I suspect that ultimately there will be an agreement between Canada and the United States. But don't forget, Trump still wants to have Canada as part of the U.S. That's still on the table, as it is with Greenland.
Oh.
But yes, just to confuse us all and to have us shipped off to another topic, we have the possibility that Trump at least has an adoring admirer.
Is that you?
Well, no, it's me. No, I was actually referring to your comment about, keep me out of this, the comment about the lady friend who I understand was one of the few that were taken as part of the decoy of his staff that he saved in a possible attack that was the assassination, if you remember, with the planes, and she went with
I'm only kidding.
Natalie.
Hey, Gary, it's been a pleasure talking to you again, dear. All the best to Stuart.
Always.
It's a pleasure. There we are, Gary Schofield. Before I get into any more trouble, anyway, we're going to have another song before we talk to our mate here. I've been reminding you of One's Age and their Wedding Bells program.
You by
this
my side.
This was also popular at the time, a popular wedding song where people got the telegrams read on air. This is Julie Rogers.
And I can see us. We're on our way to say I do. My secret dreams have all come true. Church, I see the people, your folks are mine, happy and smiling, and I can hear sweet voices singing, Ave Maria. Oh, my love, my love.
Voice of Julie Rogers. She was a British artist. She's still alive in her 80s. That's called The Wedding. You're thinking about One's Age and the Wedding Bells program, where people used to write in for songs and telegrams are written, read out on the radio. That's 1969. Good afternoon, Dwayne.
Good afternoon, troops.
Dwayne Porter is aware of the development that's going on in the port of Tauranga. The name Stella Passage looms large. What is the Stella Passage?
Stella Passage development is part of the iwi and the council that are going to build their extensions off the Port of Tauranga and also Mount Maunganui.
They also put extensions out to Sulphur Port, is it?
Sulphur Point. So they're going 385 metres at Sulphur Point. So either they're going to do it on the Manukau Island end, or they can do it from the Tauranga side. It's 385 metres that they're going to do. Also, on top of that, once it's in two stages, and then they're going to do stage, after they've done that part, it's going to be stage two at Mount Maunganui, on the Mount Maunganui wall.
So Sulphur Point is land?
Sulphur Point is the wall plus the land, right, which is owned by the Māori. And the Māori have come to agreement with the Treaty of Settlement between Stella Developments and the council and the Māori. So they've got permission to do it, but it's in the negotiations in the pipeline at the moment what they're going to do.
So that extra extension of 385 metres, which is considerable,
yep.
that won't consist of building and nothing more. There could be dredging and other things to improve the access?
Well, they've got to dredge the water and everything, and then they've got to put the steel pipes and the concrete and everything all in there first, and then they start building the wharf. That's the way they do it.
And you mentioned two stages. When is the work likely to all be in place?
Well, once I get the more information from Port of Tauranga of what the expansion and when they're going to start, hopefully they're going to do it. And on the mount side, I think they're going to start it from where the cruise liner comes in. They're going to do expansion on that, or they're going to do expansion from where the fuel is to the boat ramp.
And presumably, with all this expenditure, there's going to be a great benefit.
Well, yes, it is, Mel, because on there's a market, okay? That's why they want it. Inland Port wants the expansion done. They want to get more boats in. Yeah, you can get 3 ships into Port Tauranga. On the mount side, you can get 12 in there.
Yep.
So what they're doing is they want to bring the 6 into it, okay, and then that's how they get more expansion and more freight to come in and out, in and out, in and out. At the moment, there's the market at the moment is that China has got the most freight, sending most freight out at the moment, okay, because they send it from Mount Maunganui to Napier to get a load of logs. Last week, there was 5 boats went straight to China.
Yep. Anyway, we'll have part 2 of this next week. But coming up, we've got Trevor's tour about who said. Sorry about that, Chief. And only Get Smart theme, Maxwell Smart. Agent 86, good afternoon, Trevor.
Good afternoon. There's a near tragedy with a road racer trying to avoid capture, and it drove into a policeman, and he was that badly injured.
Yep.
Which brings me back to what I brought up before in this show, remote demobiliser. Works on a TV, or a remote, and probably other things as well, and then it can be designed for all cars have an engine, a receptor, for that purpose of stopping the vehicle. A remote demobiliser. It'll save police chases and countless lives in the future.
Yeah, of course, as we know, the police do not chase people very much. They've been warned not to chase, so...
In New Zealand?
Yep.
Yeah, on these TV reality shows, particularly in Britain,
yep,
they're very much into chasing over there.
Yep. If you've ever watched the drama series The Bill, yeah, those chases and a big... Hey, Trevor, thanks for your day, and, you'll have to start inventing in your kitchen, mate.
That's right, that's where Einstein started, or something like that.
Well, we've been remembering, it was this day that the Rangitata arrived in Wellington Harbour. Aboard was about 118 refugees from Poland. 2 arrived.
a mother and son. He was a young boy. His father had died in a Nazi concentration camp. And later in his life, he became well known as a singer called Mr. Lee Grant, Bogdan Kamenowski. Yes, he arrived on New Zealand this day in 1947. This is Mr. Lee Grant. We'll repeat the song that made him famous.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.